this week's parsha, the Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the snap, and he sees this vision of the snap that it's burning without being consumed. And as he comes close, the Russian stops him and says, "Shal nalecha me'araglecha, you have to take off your shoes because the place where you're standing, because the presence of Hashem is there, is Admas Kodesh, it's considered a holy piece of ground. So it sanctifies the ground by the fact that the Shkin is there." So thought process of looking for something to talk about, which is a halacha-oriented concept in this week's parsha, is that this concept is actually brought in halacha in regards to the issue of a person who's davening Shemoneh Esrei. The halacha puts certain limitations on what you're allowed to do in his proximity, based on this idea that where he is davening is considered Admas Kodesh, and therefore you would have to refrain from certain activities. So that was the thought process how we got to the topic, which is the halachas of a person standing, the person who's davening Shemoneh Esrei, the halachas of what is permitted and prohibited in the proximity, in his proximity. So there are two basic halachas which are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, which are going to be proscribed because a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei. One is the halacha of being seated next to him, within his Dalet Amos, being seated within his Dalet Amos. We'll discuss the parameters of that, no pun intended. And the other issue is walking in front of him or by his side while the person is davening Shemoneh Esrei. Both of these halachas are brought down in halacha that there is a limitation of walking in front of the person within Dalet Amos. There's a limitation of being seated in front of the person, even if you're not walking, being seated in front of the person. So, regards to the issue of being seated in proximity to a person davening Shemoneh Esrei, there are four reasons given in the sources why this is prohibited. The first explanation, the Torah says that it sends across a bad message. Here, this person is standing and davening, and you're just sitting there, like it's as if you're not joining in this acceptance of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ol Malchus. You're not being Makabel the Ol Malchus together with him. The Taz comes along and he says, "Well, one second, Shemoneh Esrei is not Ol Malchus. If the issue is Ol Malchus, it'd be more relevant by Shema. The person saying Shema, you're sitting next to him and not doing anything. So what are you doing? He's saying Shema, I mean Makabel Ol Malchus Shema, but you're just like whatever." That'd be much more of an issue. But davening Shemoneh Esrei is actually the primary purpose of davening Shemoneh Esrei is the beseeching Hashem, not being Makabel his Ol Malchus. So the halacha that we're saying does not seem to be rooted in a lack of joining in the Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shema. Therefore, the Taz has the explanation, which we started off with, that the area where a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, the Rambam describes davening Shemoneh Esrei as an act of immediately lifnei HaMelech, that the person is standing in the presence of the king. So here this person is standing in the presence of the king, that creates an aura of Kedusha in the Dalet Amos around him. So you cannot be seated in such a place. It's like a Mokum, which is Kurdish. You can't be seated, you have to treat it with a certain awe and respect. You have to be standing.
And that's true whether there's a minion or not.
Regardless of a minion, whether it's a man or a woman, even a child, which you'd assume, let's say, a child who's of age, that his tefillah is a real tefillah, he's ready, you know, 9, 10-year-old, as opposed to a little kid, you're just, you know, training him to say words. But a person's actually davening, that would be the status. Now, so regards to the Taz's question on the tour, it was interesting to me that he said that tefillah is not an act of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, which is the way we would assume. Shema is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, and tefillah is an act of beseeching Hashem. But there's a Gemara which actually supports the Torah. There's a Gemara beginning the beginning of the second parak in Brachas. The Gemara says that a person who wishes to be Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim Shlema, a true, complete Ol Malchus Shemayim, this is what you should do. He says you should get up, wash your hands, put on your tefillin, say Shema, Davening Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara sees that Shemoneh Esrei being part of the act of being Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, not just beseeching Hashem, which actually makes a lot of sense to us, because tefillah is called an act of avodah, an act of service to Hashem. So it seems to be at first glance difficult to understand how we can look at tefillah as an act of service when tefillah really is a laundry list of requests. So I walk in, you know, your father says, you know, I would literally like to serve me. He says, great, Dad, I would like X, Y, and Z. Please deliver it as quickly as possible. So how does this list of requests act as, so we, the point of the tefillah is the recognition that the Rosh Hashanah is the source of everything. That's why we make this list. So the Gemara says, correctly so, if that's how you approach tefillah, as an act of reminding you that everything comes from Hashem, so tefillah is part of the act of being mekabel ol malchus shamayim. So that's what the Torah is definitely correct in saying, that tefillah is part of a kabbalah ol malchus shamayim, and therefore being seated next to the person while he's doing that would be improper. The person saying Shema, so it's not improper for me to be seated, and he's also seated. So there's nothing. I'm not trying to think anything wrong by being seated in that situation, and that's why there's no halacha regards to that. Now there is a third reason given of this issue of yeshiva is because it sometimes it affects the individual who's davening. His focus is affected by the fact that people are crowding around him and seated around him. So he said, you know, give him space. Don't be seated right next to him. And the fourth reason which is given is because there's a concept of standing when a person is doing a mitzvah. So where do we find that? So the Mishnah, this Bikurim, says that when they would bring the Bikurim, people would travel from their hometowns on the way to the Beis HaMikdash. As they would go through the various villages and cities along the way, the Baal Yumlis, the shopkeepers, would stop their work and stand up in honor of the people who are bringing the Bikurim. So the Rav explains to the Mishnah, the Bar Tanura explains that there's an Indian of standing up when a person is doing a mitzvah. So he's not even actually doing the mitzvah yet, he's actually on his way to do the mitzvah, but we stand up in his honor. He says, and that's why the minig, he says, is when they bring the child in to do the bris milah, so the person who's carrying the child, we stand up in honor of the person who's carrying the child, because he's coming to do the mitzvah to bring the child in. So he said, we're not setting up an honor of the child, we're setting up an honor of the person bringing the child in. That's how he explains that idea of standing up over there. Interesting, I once saw it, I would love to tell you where it's from, it'll come to me hopefully, but I don't remember right now, that one of the explanations why we stand up when the Chasam Kala walk down. There's no source for standing when the Chasam Kala walk down to the chuppah. There is actually a Knesset HaGedolah, which was an early, very early Posek, you know, in the Avodah Karanim, that he writes that the minhag was, which we don't do, that when the Chasam Kala are under the Chuppah and they're saying the Sheva Brachas, so they should stand in honor of the Sheva Brachas, and the whole Tzibur should stand in honor of the Sheva Brachas. That was the original minhag, he says. That was a minhag they had in Constantinople, etc., that everybody would stand during the chuppah. And Rav Adya brings down this Knesset HaGedolah. He says, and that is the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, that the minhag is they don't put out chairs, everybody stands by the chuppah because of this Knesset HaGedolah. You're supposed to stand during the chuppah. But before the chuppah, there's no one standing up. So Americans are great. So before the chuppah, we stand up. During the chuppah, we sit. You know,
go ahead. But now we stand up for the grandparents, too.
Right, yeah, and the little kids also. You know, we stand up for everything along the way.
I mean, that would apply to the chassid. I mean, he's being mekayem the mitzvah. I don't know if they would apply to the kallah.
So interesting. So one of the mafreshim wants to say that we're setting up in honor of the not the chassan or the kallah. We're setting up in honor of the shoshvinim, which are bringing the chassan and the kallah to do the mitzvah. The same way we talk about bringing the child to do the milah, we set up in honor. The Rav says you set up in honor of the kvater who's bringing the child in to do the mitzvah. So similarly, we are setting up in honor of the shoshvinim, the parents which are walking the child down to bring him to do the mitzvah. So that's what they suggest.
What about Chasen Dom HaLamelech?
That doesn't start till after he gets married. So the Chasen Dom HaLamelech, this doesn't really apply till he's actually married. Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal actually held the we don't say Tachanum when the Chasen is there. Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal, when they would have a minyan for Mincha before the Chuppah, he would say Tachanum. He would tell the Chasen to say Tachanum because it's not a Chasen yet. There's no Chasen here yet. Chasen starts when he gets married.
Speaking of Rav Yaakov, I once heard, I heard it from him, but it could have been from somebody else too, that the minhag of standing up by Yivarech David, like why all of a sudden out of nowhere you stand up there? Because the minhag was to give tzedakah, that
right.
People would get up in the middle of shul and give tzedakah. So in honor of the people that would get up
give tzedakah.
Give tzedakah, people stood up.
Right. He's actually brought down a halacha talking about that. If you look in the Derech Emunah from Chaim Kanievsky, he says that it's preferable to give tzedakah standing. That's the covenant of the minutes of giving tzedakah. When you give tzedakah, you preferably should be standing. He suggests give it with your right hand, standing, like all these, you know, giving covenant to the midst of tzedakah. Okay, so getting back to over here, so that's the fourth suggestion, why we stand, why we should not be seated. The person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, he's doing a mitzvah, so we should be oimed in honor of this person who's doing the mitzvah of tefillah. Okay, now, the halacha applies within the Dalai Lamas of the person. The Beis Yosef then quotes from the Sefer Oil Moyer, which is one of the Rishonim. That's talking about when you're next on his side. But the fun of Kimloy Einov, you should be standing. So anything which is directly in front of the person, the Beis Yosef brings the opinion of the Oil Moyer. And the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch as the language of Yesh Misha Omer, which means there is such an opinion. And everybody else does not mention it, which means they don't agree with it. They feel that, you know, it's the Dalai Lama in all directions, but he does bring such an opinion. And the Mishnah Berurah says that a person preferably should be machmer on that opinion. So if you're directly in front of him, that's all about being directly in front. If you're off to the sides, it's not an issue. If you're directly in front of him, even though you're beyond, so the shir is kimloy einov. So you're davening in a very large shul. So the shir from kimloy einov, they assume, is 267 amas. So if it's more than 500 feet away, you're fine. Most shuls are not that large, so that would mean that if you have the guy in the back row who's davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're directly, you're four rows up and five rows up, six rows up in front, directly in front of him, you should not be seated in that situation, preferably. Now, does it apply to behind the person? It applies to in front of him, it applies to his sides. Does it apply to behind him? So the Shulchan Aruch does not mention an Isser of behind. He only mentions the Isser in front of or to the sides. He does not mention an Isser problem behind the person. The Bach actually disagrees. The Bach says it applies behind the person as well. The Gaonim, going back to the original reason, the Torah says, the Gaonim said the problem is that I'm not being Kabbalah Mechush Shemaim. It's only a problem if I'm just sitting there spacing out. But if I'm davening, so I'm not, as it were, ignoring, I'm also being mekabel omach l'shamayim in my own way. I'm davening, saying tefillas, etc. So it's not a problem. So Tosfos and Masechtas Brachos quotes the Gaonim, they say that that's a heter. But the Torah says that this halacha is only if they're davening. So if I'm sitting and learning is very chosher, very important, etc. But it's not being mekabel omach l'shamayim, whereas tefillah is part of the process of serving Hashem. Learning is a different mitzvah. So the Torah learns that it's So the Beis Yosef says that you could possibly disagree with that, and the Shulchan Aruch brings down the language of Yesh Mishamater. There are those who say it's permitted if you're learning. Again, some say not. So the Mishnah Berurah says preferably in that situation, if you can stand, you should stand. Okay. If I was seated and the person came and started davening next to me, I do not have to get up. The Rama says, I mean, it's chassidus in the situation, you should get up anyway. It comes on the Bach, and the Bach says, it really depends. If you're in a shul, which is made for a place for everybody to come to daven, so that's his makom just as much as yours. So now he's not coming, the language of the Beis Yosef is, he's bobbing, well, he came into your space. No, that's not true in a shul. It's much his space as it is yours. If I be, let's say, we're davening in a house, and I'm sitting, you know, and all of a sudden they start making a minion. I davened already, and I'm sitting. I want to, you know, everybody starts davening. So I say, excuse me, I got here first. I'm sitting, leave me alone. But in a situation where a shul, there the Bach says that argument, he doesn't feel that argument is true. Okay. Some other term which apply in the situation that. If you're in a shul, assuming if you're in a base of matters, which is made for learning, so say they have a minion, 1 minion in the morning, there's the day, it's, you know, the rest of the morning is made for learning, and somebody comes to the daven, and so that clearly would, he has no right to come in, as it were, and affect the people around him, which may, the primary purpose of this place is for learning, so he can't come in because he wants to daven there and affect that. During davening, obviously, would be a different question.
What if he came in for davening and Shemoneh Esrei is going on and on and on?
Okay, well, that's a different issue. Okay, so there, it's actually interesting. Lashon Mishabur says on the round, it's a chiyuv on the davener to move away dalanam for everybody else. If I know that I'm going to be in this situation where everybody's going to be learning, I'm going to be davening, so I have a chiyuv to be marchik myself, as opposed to the other way around. If the person who's sitting is a person who's weak, and it's obvious to people that's why he's being seated, that's not a problem. The Chayyim says that there's something in between, which is 10 tefachim high, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so that would also be considered sufficient to allow me to be seated, even though I'm within dalai lama of the person, but there's something in between. Not so common that you have something of that sort. A shtender would be of that sort. The question is, do you need something kavua? So the Chayyim seems to say that possibly, or some understand the Chayyim would apply even possibly even a shtender, which is, even though it's movable. But the simple reading seems to be something which is a kavua. It's a mafsik. So you would have tables are not a kavua, so that they move, and usually they're not, and some of them are not 10 tefachim high, etc. So that's the first issue, the issue of being seated next to somebody who's davening. That there's the next problem is a halacha of moving in front or passing by somebody who's davening. There's an issue of being over the keneged hamizbalo, passing by a person who's a mizbalo. And that, there's two reasons which are given. One is because it's you're walking by is going, it's going to disturb him. It's going to affect his concentration. That's how the Chayyim understands the reason. Chayyim says, the Chayyim brings another explanation. He says, I think this is the reason because of affecting his kavana. I'm sorry, the round. The Chayyim brings this issue of kavana. He says, no, I think the issue is because when a person's davening, the shkina, as it were, is in front of him, and you're walking. So within the Dalai Lama, that's where his makam is. Like the shkina is right there, and you're like sort of blocking between him and the shkina, so you can't walk by that spot. And but he says he does bring the explanation because you're affecting his kavana. So this is a place to point out that it's lav dafka walking. So if it's a kal v'chomer, I'm going to stand there within the Dalai Lama and make shmuzing. You know, I'm having a conversation with the guy next to me, and you know, meanwhile the guy trying to daven, it's not very nice. It's a kal v'chomer. And Chazal came along and said, even just passing by is going to be disturbing because you'll notice it in the side of your, etc. Now, what's Osir? It's clear that it's also walking in front of him. Walking behind him, the person assumes that it's mutter. Walking up to his side is permitted. Stodim is mutter. Stodim shalafonim is a machlokes, which means I'm walking up to his side, that's fine. But if I start moving forward, I'm on his side, but I'm also in front of him to some extent. I'm stodim shalafonim. So stodim shalafonim becomes the Magen Rama says it's a problem, and the Yerabba says it's mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag is to be makel by stodim shalafonim. So that's very relevant. Let's say you're leaving the shul, you're walking down the aisle, so you're walking on the stadim shalafana of these individuals who are davening. You're not walking in front of them because they're davening by the tables or by the benches, whatever it is. You're walking on the side of the aisle. So according to the Magen Rambam, that's usur because you're walking on stadim shalafana within the dalai lama of the person. But the Eli Rabbah says it's mutter, and the Aruch HaShulchan does not bring any hakra. He brings both opinions. That's, he just leaves it hanging. The Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag is to be meikel on stadim shalafana. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to get in and out of a shul. You have a person who's davening a little bit more long than everybody else, and you can't move, you can't get out. So that's there's semach on that opinion. There are multiple differences between these two explanations. So, let's say a person's davening, his talus is over his face. Right? So, according to if the issue is kavana, so that'd be mutter because there's no. I'm not affecting his kavana. He doesn't see me. If the issue is this idea that the chayyim says that I'm interrupting between him and the shechina, the fact that he's covering his face is irrelevant. The Mishaburah brings down this halacha. He says, since it's issue of kavana, so it's true by Shema also. If a person's trying to say Shema and a person walks right in front of him, it can be disturbing. So you're not over the fun of it as he's saying Shema either. But according to the reasons, because of this hafsik between him and the Shechina, well, it wouldn't apply b'shas kriya Shema. So there would be the other way around. Let's say there's row number one, row number two, row number three. So number two, the fellow finished davening already. I'm in row one, and somebody behind me in row two who finished davening. And in row three, there's somebody who's still davening. So it's within Dalai Lama's. But when I step back, I'm not disturbing him. He doesn't see me because there's somebody in between. So I'm not disturbing him. But on the other hand, I'm moving within his Dalet Amos. So if the issue is the Shekhinah presence, so that would be a problem. If the issue is Kavanah, that wouldn't be a problem. There are multiple Aterim which are said to try to address this issue of so some of these kulas that because it's such a difficult issue, we rely on that. But one thing which the Mishnah says clear, let's say I need to go out to the bathroom. So a person has an urge, he needs to go to the bathroom, he shouldn't refrain from going to the bathroom because of the fact that somebody's davening. He can't come back in necessarily. He can't go back to their seat necessarily. These people are davening as they pass by them, that's already being, but you can go out to the bathroom, but you come back, you'd have to stand in the back or something of that sort. One other hetter, and then we'll finish. Let's say the person, two scenarios. One scenario, the person finished davening totally, but he hasn't stepped back because there's somebody behind him. So he's still standing in the presence. Mishmar holds you're still standing in the presence of the melech, but I'm not affecting his kavanah. He's not davening. So if the issue is kavanah, there's no issue over there at all. If the issue is that there's a presence of shkinah, which I'm sort of interrupting, the Mishmar says as long as you're standing, you haven't stepped back, you're considered a lifnei melech, which means you have limitations on what you're allowed to do. The question is whether the Chaim says you're not allowed to learn that yet. You're only allowed to daven. You can't learn because you're still standing in front of the king. You could daven, you could talk to him, but it's not kavanah, it's not a tefillah, which is a chiyuv, so you wouldn't have a problem with kavanah, but you would have a problem passing over there. Well, let's say you're holding
it, you can't learn.
What, I finished when I said the person behind me is still davening, so I can't step back. So I'm standing still in my spot, so I'm still standing in front of the king. So I'm allowed to, I can say tilum, I can daven, etc. But I want to take a mishnayos and start learning mishnayos. So Chaim Kanevsky says you can't do that because right now you're still in the same melech. You have to, you could talk to him. Learning is a different process. I mean, but let's say you're holding a lekayin etzor. You're holding during tachanunim. So the Aruch HaShulchan says it's mutter. A lot of times people, they finish an essay and they have a long, they had a lot of different requests, etc. That's the person's own personal decision. You know, so I'm affecting his kavanah. He can stop whatever he wants. It's up to him. So that's not my issue. It's the issue that the immediate lifnei ha-melech is there, but the kavanah issue, it doesn't seem to affect. So he says that the minhag is to be mekel in that situation. So if a person's the person behind you is holding a lekayin etzor, you'd be allowed to step back.